What happens when an ordinary day turns catastrophic in just 19 minutes? In Sterling, New Hampshire, 17-year-old Peter Houghton transforms from bullied outcast to school shooter, killing 10 people and wounding 19 others. But this story isn't simply about violence. It's about the complex web of relationships, choices, and failures that led to this devastating moment. Through multiple perspectives and timelines, we're forced to confront uncomfortable questions. What if the monster was once a victim? What if the line between justice and vengeance isn't as clear as we think? And what if 19 minutes is all it takes to shatter everything you thought you knew about someone you love? Peter's journey begins with kindergarten excitement, waking at 4:32 a.m. At the bus stop, his mother photographs him while telling Joey, his older brother, to watch over him. Joey abandons Peter, leaving him vulnerable when an older boy throws his Superman lunchbox out the window. Only his friend Josie offers comfort. This pattern defines his childhood. Classmates mock Peter when he gets glasses. His mother Lacey struggles with the teacher's suggestion that Peter needs self-defense skills. Though pained, she threatens to forbid playdates with Josie unless he stands up for himself. One day, Peter, she tells him, everyone's going to know your name. In middle school, Peter's isolation worsens. He arrives late to soccer locker rooms to avoid teammates who call him Peter Homo. His only ally is Derek Markowitz, another reluctant player who shares jokes during games. The worst blow comes when Josie Cormier joins the popular crowd. After briefly gaining acceptance by humiliating a girl, Peter shows empathy, saying, "It's not funny anymore," and is immediately rejected. When confronted, Josie admits, "When I'm with them, people like me," promising protection, but adding she can't really hang out with you right now. Peter lives overshadowed by his older brother Joey, the golden boy, who excels at everything. During his first deer hunting trip with his father, 12-year-old Peter deliberately misses shooting a 6-point buck. His father takes the shot instead, patting Peter's shoulder with bloody hands and sighing, "Next time," leaving Peter frozen with disappointment. Later, Peter overhears Joey mocking him in the school bathroom, styling his hair into a cowlick to imitate Peter. When discovered, Joey dismisses him with, "Get lost, freak," leaving Peter wondering if it's possible to get lost when you've been missing most of your life. When Joey dies in a car accident, Peter feels resentment rather than grief, unable to mourn the brother who initiated bullying against him. Years later at Quick Copy, Peter asks Josie what being popular feels like. She admits it feels like, if you take one wrong step, you're gonna fall. Seeing the real Josie beneath her popular facade, Peter tries to impress her with a pie chart about high school social hierarchy in math class. His public identification of Josie as a bridge between groups backfires. She tells him never to speak to her again. Peter's breaking point comes after writing a heartfelt email to Josie, comparing them to peanut butter and jelly. When Josie's friend Courtney forwards it to the entire school, Peter becomes the target of ruthless mockery. Tricked by Courtney into believing Josie reciprocates his feelings, Peter approaches her lunch table with hope. The popular crowd taunts him until Matt pulls down Peter's pants, exposing him to everyone. Humiliated, Peter runs away amid laughter. Josie retrieves his abandoned lunch bag, telling herself she'll return it, though knowing she won't. Later, locked in a bathroom stall, Peter destroys a childhood photo of himself with Josie and vows revenge. This public humiliation transforms him from victim to perpetrator. While borrowing gas from his neighbor, retired cop Mr. Weatherhall, Peter discovers a 9mm Glock in a sugar canister. He returns to steal the gun, hiding it between his mattress and box spring, finding comfort in its presence. Years of bullying have culminated in a desperate plan for revenge. 5 months after the shooting, Peter's trial begins. Prosecutor Diana Levin contrasts Sterling High's peaceful appearance with the horrific aftermath of Peter's rampage, detailing how he armed himself, planted a diversionary bomb, then methodically shot through the school. Defense attorney Jordan McAfee acknowledges Peter's actions, but argues he was defending himself after 12 years of bullying. Jordan explains that Peter's PTSD prevented him from distinguishing between immediate and distant threats. He was a scared boy who repeatedly sought protection and never received it. Witnesses testify about their horror. When scarred former homecoming queen Haley Weaver testifies, Peter feels overwhelming guilt, comparing his actions to breaking his mother's perfume bottle, except this damage is permanent. The trial's climax comes when Josie reveals the truth. In the locker room, Peter's gun skidded toward her. Matt demanded she shoot Peter, but she accidentally shot Matt instead. As Matt lay bleeding, Peter shot him and whispered, "Don't tell," to Josie, creating their pact of silence. Despite this revelation, Peter is convicted and commits suicide in his cell 1 month later. The consequences ripple through the community long after the verdict. Peter's father, Lewis, returns to teaching, researching how communities recover after school shootings, wondering if one can ever stand on firm ground again after such devastation. Lacey struggles with her grief, entering Peter's bedroom 3 weeks after the verdict. She begins boxing his belongings but stops, recalling Alex Cormier's words, "Something still exists as long as there's someone around to remember it." She realizes everyone will remember Peter for 19 minutes, but what about the other 9 million? She returns everything to its place, determined to preserve those other memories. A year later, Sterling High is unrecognizable with its new green metal roof and glass atrium. A plaque reads, "A Safe Harbor." Inside are open cubbies instead of lockers, and everyone wears ID badges. Security measures that offer comfort, though the threat always comes from within, not outside. Despite the devastation, recovery begins to emerge. During a soccer game, a striker helps up a smaller defenseman he'd trampled, a small gesture suggesting change. The surviving maple tree shows signs of spring, sap running, ready to bud. The novel challenges us to consider what we might do differently as parents, educators, friends, and citizens to prevent another tragedy. The answer begins with recognizing that every interaction matters. Every moment of kindness or cruelty shapes who we become, and 19 minutes can change everything in the blink of an eye. Josie articulates our shared responsibility. The rest of us, we're all like Peter. Some of us just do a better job of hiding it. This recognition that the capacity for both violence and compassion exists within everyone is the first step toward building communities where no child feels isolated enough to turn to violence, and where we see the humanity in everyone, even those who commit terrible acts.